The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. I want to ask a question, and it is a trick question. What is the absolute, bar none, indisputable worst sin the average person could commit? Now, bear in mind, the average person is not going to commit murder. The average person. What, perhaps, could that sin be? I could probably guess from the hearing of confessions, talking to different people about their lives, direction, or just in conversation. There was a time I was watching Fox News with another priest. It was way back at the time when they had the show Hannity and Combs. Alan Combs has since passed away and Sean Hannity has his own show. But Sean Hannity had called on, as a guest, a priest who had dared to criticize Hannity's blowing off the church's teaching on contraception. And of course, when Sean Hannity was questioning this priest, he's not very good at letting people finish when he has guests on his show. And he kept saying to this priest, "You have no right to criticize me. You had no right to judge me." And he wouldn't let this priest talk, but he kept saying, "The good book says, judge not and you shall not be judged, and you were judging me. Well, the good book says you shall not judge." Finally, the priest next to me shouted at the TV and says, "The good book also says when a person is wrong, tell them." Notice how nervous the laughter was right then and there. We're living in a society in which the absolute bar none worst thing anyone can do ever is being judgmental. I have endless conversations with people talk about, "Father, I really have a problem with being judgmental." And I like to clarify what exactly that means, because usually when people talk to me about that, the first question I ask is, "Who have you condemned to hell?" And they're pretty shocked by that. "What?" I say, "Well, who have you condemned to hell?" And they said, "Well, no one." I said, "Then you're not guilty of being judgmental. You're not guilty of judging." You see, people nowadays are so adverse and have such a pathological allergy, they almost break out into hives right before your very eyes, of being critical or disapproving of anyone for anything at any time ever. And they don't want to be that way. They believe that that is being judgmental. For example, you work in a company or you go to work and people come together on a regular basis for, say, a meeting. And you have a coworker who regularly shows up late and everyone has to wait for that person to show up late. So finally, one of you decides to take that person aside and say, "You know, we really are waiting for you to come. It might help if you come on time." That person responds, "You have no right to judge me." So that co-worker immediately runs to the nearest confessional, confessing, "I'm judgmental," when what they were doing was exercising fraternal correction, which Jesus gives us in today's gospel. If your brother sins against you, or more generally speaking, gives offense, tell them. Tell them. And Jesus gives a whole prescription of how we look out for each other, how we call each other back, and how we correct each other. Disapproving of something is not being judgmental. Being critical of something is not being judgmental, because some things are worthy of criticism. Some things are very worthy of disapproval. Some things are worthy of being held up privately, sometimes publicly, alas, as a bad example. Even Jesus says, listen to what the Pharisees tell you, but don't follow their example. Was Jesus being judgmental? No, he was being critical and using that as a bad example for his disciples to lead into the kind of men he wants his disciples to be. And we are called to do the same. And if the person ignores that, then we bring another person. If not, we refer them to the church, and then it ends with that classic phrase, if they don't listen to the church, treat them as you would a tax collector or a Gentile. Now, for centuries, people interpreted that to mean they're excommunicated. But how did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? He starts from square one, and he evangelizes to them. It's like, if they still don't listen to the church, it's like, okay, let me explain this to you like you're a kindergartner. Let me explain. He'd evangelize. He'd start from square one and begin again. And that is what we call the doctrine of fraternal correction. But people nowadays are so nervous about being critical or even mentally disapproving of anything that they believe it constitutes the sin of being judgmental. But then look at how morally confused our society has become, because people are so adverse to being judgmental that we don't criticize or disapprove of anything ever. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus does not want us to become a community of busybodies who are constantly pointing out the faults of other people. We need to be open to that same correction ourselves. But you know what Jesus doesn't say in today's gospel? He doesn't say, if the stranger on the street gives offense, tell them. He says, if your brother gives offense, there's already a connection between you and the other person. He also doesn't say, if your mother or father gives offense, or if your teacher gives offense, or if your coach gives offense, it's if your brother or your sister. A fraternal correction in which we look out for one another and we remember we are all in this together. We're all journeying together. We need to be willing to call each other back and at times be open to ourselves being called back. And we know as a church, even as a body that is the church, to our very society, we exercise in a grand way a form of fraternal correction to the world around us as we call the world to a greater value system, a greater standard of living, a greater faith, and a greater awareness of God. But people are naturally going to respond in a way that is hostile, right? After all, when, say, in a parish, we talk about how inappropriate it is to arrive late for Mass and leave once you receive communion before Mass is over, guess who gets upset? When we assert as a church a certain moral standard in a society that is hostile to that, guess what the reaction will be? Sometimes it will be a very hostile and negative reaction. But don't let that make us think we are committing a sin. Hopefully we'll know when we are being busybodies. You do know the people who are constantly pointing out everyone else's faults, completely unaware of their own. But Jesus wants us to look out for each other because we're not in this alone. Jesus says, the measure with which you measure will be the measure back, measured back to you. And if we have the attitude of, oh, we're just not going to talk to that person about anything because it's none of our business, we're just going to leave them, perhaps wallowing in their own sinfulness, when we might be the instrument whereby someone turns away from sin, would that not be the measure that God measures to us? God will not even bother with us. He'll let us wallow in our sin. He'll let us reap those consequences. And in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, it's taken to a completely higher level. How many listen to today's first reading? And this is a passage, believe it or not, that occurs in the book of the prophet Ezekiel not once, but twice, in chapter 3 and I believe chapter 33. Ezekiel is told this twice. And because we are hearing it in the Mass, God is therefore speaking to us. And what does he say? I will point the sinner's way out to you. If you do not warn him, He will die for his sins, but I will hold you responsible for his death because you did not warn him. Perhaps it's a good extreme in the extremes we see today when people say, no, I will not judge, I will not get involved, I won't be critical of anything. What we hear from Ezekiel is, to a certain degree, the very salvation of our souls depends on us exercising prudent and appropriate fraternal correction. To our friends and neighbors, to those we know well, do it in a private, quiet way that is respectful. We may get a hostile response, but it doesn't mean we ourselves are committing a sin. But the basic value that Jesus is telling us is we are not alone in this journey toward God. We are a community of faith. We're moving through this together. We need to look out for one another. If necessary, call one another back in private, loving, respectful ways. But we live in a society that perhaps is the exact antithesis of today's responsorial psalm. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And are we not living in a society today in which we are completely hardened against exercising any kind of fraternal correction because we don't want to be labeled as judgmental? And yet today we hear that voice of Christ. And it's not an easy thing. It can be a challenging thing. It's something very uncomfortable. I've given this homily and this talk before, and I still have people come up to me after the Mass saying, I don't care, Father, I will not judge. Because culturally, that is where we've come. Culturally, that is where we've come. But this is not a command that Jesus gives us out of spite, in which we want to point out everyone else's fault except our own, but that we remember we're all in this together. And we need to lovingly call one another back. We need to lovingly work to improve how we live that gospel, to recognize where we need to grow, to recognize where we still have ongoing conversion that goes for the rest of our lives. That's not done out of judgmentalism. That's done out of love. And just 2 years off from a holy year of mercy called by Pope Francis, when we look at a list called the Spiritual Works of Mercy, the third spiritual work of mercy is correcting the sinner. It's not an act of judgmentalism and sin. It's a work of mercy to call one another back and be open to being called back ourselves. So let us truly ponder those words and not harden our hearts as Jesus calls us to look out for one another, to be a part of one another's spiritual life, to be a community of faith, a church. We come together and celebrate this Eucharist as one community of faith. We call one another back and encourage one another to live the standards in the gospel that Jesus gives us as a people of faith. We are brothers and sisters who live together as a people of faith. And Jesus gives us today the doctrine of fraternal correction, so that all of us together, open to correction ourselves, and given the formula whereby we, in appropriate and loving ways, can call one another to a greater and more fuller and substantial living of the gospel Jesus calls us to live, whose message is very simple. Be faithful to the gospel as we turn away from sin.